are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family. Your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. Happy Monday to everybody. We're week number three of the 2019 preseason. The Giants have two games in the books. They have about 4 weeks now, or they're starting their fourth week, actually, of summer training camp. And time to kind of a pulse check on the team, see where things are, how things are shaping up, and who better to help me with all this than my good friend Chris Bisiano of the Giant Insider. Christopher, thank you so much for coming on with me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Patty. Hey, thanks for having me on again. Great to
always
be here.
Always, my friend. Always. Always a blast. So, Chris, we're almost done. I mean, time flies when you're having fun. We still got a couple more weeks of the preseason, then roster cutdowns dates. So I'm just going to throw out a general question at you and just see, you know, what your thoughts are. But what has surprised you most about what you have seen so far from this team?
Well, one player who's pleasantly surprised me, Pat, I have to be honest with you. I mean, from day one is obviously the future, Daniel Jones. How well he has looked most of the time. You know, another pleasant surprise, Pat. It was a concern of mine. Offensive line has played well. Remmers has been healthy. Okay. Zeitler, we knew what he brought to the table. Remmers, we basically did too, but we were concerned. He was injured. So the offensive line seems to be gelling well. So it was a worry for me, and I feel less worried now. You saw him the other night. I know it was against the Bears, twos, and all that. You saw a line that really controlled the line of scrimmage, ran the ball well, gave Eli time. He came in, and then they gave Daniel Jones time. So, Pat, the progress of Daniel Jones, I'm not going to say, shocked, but how far he seems to be ahead of the curve, Pat, is a very, very pleasant surprise.
Absolutely, Chris. I mean, it's amazing how coming into the spring, everybody was just moaning about the pick. And ever since this kid has stepped on the field and showed what he can do, now all of a sudden, all the people that were moaning about it are excited about what he's shown. Now, to be clear, he still has a long way to go. You know, he's probably not going to see the field much, if at all, this year, at least not as long as they're still in the playoff hunt. You know, there's still some things he needs to show. But, Chris, let's talk about how the Giants have been bringing Daniel Jones along. You know, Pat Shurmur said at the beginning of camp he had a plan, and he said that plan will ultimately unveil itself. It has a little bit. What have you liked about that plan?
That he's going to be ready to go, Pat. That he's gotten a ton of reps in practice. He's playing behind the ones in preseason games. And you remember what Mike Shula said back in May when he said, June, whatever, maybe it was the mini camp, but when he said, we believe this kid could step in and play. So they have geared this young man, Pat, to be able to step on the field if something happens to Eli Manning, right?
Yeah.
They've geared him from the first practice on to be ready. He's been with the twos every practice. He's gotten behind the ones in preseason games. Pat Shurmur, Mike Shula, they've totally prepared this kid to be ready if needed in a regular season. And I think that's where they're at. And you have two more weeks to fine-tune it. And I think the kid will be totally prepared, Pat, if something happens to Eli in the regular season.
Absolutely. And you know, I like the plan that they have put together. I like that Jones has embraced the plan. You don't see him really making the same mistake twice. And when he does make a mistake, you see how he gets all over himself and, just immediately has to correct it, very open to coaching, very receptive to feedback that he's getting from his teammates, his veteran teammates, Eli, Golden Tate, Shep, and so forth. A lot to like with this young man. And I'll tell you what, it makes the future, life after Eli Manning seem a little less scary.
Pat, right now, you say to yourself, the future's in good hands. The future is in good hands. Like you just said, Pat, there's plenty of, listen, there's, you know, he hasn't played a regular season game. Nobody's schemed and game planning against him. Yes, we know that. Okay, we know that. But when you look at Daniel Jones now, you can't help but say, hey, when Eli's not here anymore, would either be, you know, either be at the end of next year or 2 years, whatever it might be, when he's no longer a Giant and they hand the reins over to Daniel Jones, how could you not say we're in good hands with this kid? Right? Yeah. How could you not say that?
Exactly.
So, exactly. I mean, the future, I'm sorry, Patty, the future is just, you have to look at it. It's going to be a transfer from Eli to another 15 years with this kid Jones. That's the way I see it, Pat. Maybe I'm missing it.
And you know what, Chris? The other thing that I like, and this is something that I really wanted to see the Giants do when they did it, they put a running game in place. They put a better offensive line in place. They have solid tight ends, and they have decent receivers. So everything is in place so that when this transition does ultimately come, whether it be later this year or next year, that transition should be relatively smooth.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you 100%. I'm sorry. I agree with you 100%, Pat. It should be very smooth. Like you said, we'll see how the season goes, whether or not he gets in this year. If he gets in this year, the season's going south. They're not going to make the play. All that stuff. He starts getting playing time. That'll make it even smoother for 2020.
Sure.
All right. If he doesn't play a snap, he sits behind Eli the whole season. Okay. It's going to be a year under watching, you know, practicing the whole deal, and he goes into that 2020 season hit. You know, and he hits the ground running. Okay. So. Listen, you can't help but be encouraged. Yeah, listen, look what happened the other night, Pat. You know, he started off pretty good. He had some downs. He had two fumbles. Comes back, finishes strong. He hits TJ Jones in the end zone. He drops back. He looks to his right, gets that safety out of there, and boom, and drops the ball into TJ Jones. How could you not be encouraged? How about the accuracy of this kid? I mean, the kid is accurate too, right, Pat?
Oh, my. Danny Dimes, right?
Yeah, the kid's accurate, and he – the other night, he hits Latimer on a sideline throw, something we've seen a million times in practices this summer. The kid's got a beautiful touch on the sideline passes. You know, he's just got a nice deep ball. His accuracy is pretty good. He's got a good arm when he needs it. He's a smart kid. I don't know, pal. You know, what more can you ask for right now? I mean, the future looks bright for this organization.
Yep, and I love how they're handling it. And, you know, for all the people who were in a hurry to jettison Eli, this was the grand plan all along,
yes, it was.
You know, which is what you and I know we kind of thought would be the case.
Yeah.
You know, we had to see it unfold, but
yep.
You got to like what they're doing here. So, and definitely encourage. Chris, let's take a quick break. We'll talk more offense. We still got to talk about the defense, so we'll do all that when we come back. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider and Giant Insider podcast, the King Buffoon, him and Jerry Foley, the two King Buffoons. And for those of you who haven't heard, I am finally officially a member of the Buffoon crew. Very proud.
Congratulations.
Yes, I got my shirt last week. I got my shirt and I've already worn it very proudly. Gotten a lot of compliments on it. So I want to thank you guys.
Not as many compliments as I have gotten on your cookies. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well, the least I can do, Chris, for all the times you come on, I appreciate it. So, all right, so we are talking Giants football as always. We're kind of just taking a temperature check, kind of seeing where things are at, where we see them to be at. We just finished talking about the quarterback. Chris, we talked a little bit about the offensive line and how well that's come together. Let's talk a little bit now about the skill position players. I like what I've seen, obviously, from the tight ends. Evan Engram, even though they have him, you know, in bubble wrap until the start of the season, which I'm okay with.
Yep.
You know, Saquon Barkley, we know what he could do. But the rest of these receivers, now Golden Tate, we know we're going to not have four games. But the rest of these receivers, I don't think I can remember in a long time a group of journeyman receivers, which, you know, let's call them for what they are, stepping up and just, you know, I mean, they are playing on a whole other level right now. And it's been very, very intense, that competition, very impressive. And I think Shermer and GM Dave Gettleman are going to have some hard decisions to make there.
Yeah. you know, you look at the Alonzo Russell, who's going to be the last cuts, right? I mean, you look, TJ Jones is, you know, he's making his case. He's going to be on this team, you know. You expect him. And then guys like Reggie White and Alonzo Russell are going to be battling for that last spot, man. You know, the Benny Fowlers and Cody Latimers, they're going to be on the Giants, Pat, right? They're going to be on the squad. You know, a couple of guys that were behind the numbers in Denver, they come over here, they're going to get their shot. You know, Tate's out four games. Latimer's going to be in the mix. Fowler's going to be in the mix. Shep is going to, you know, Shep's the number one guy and all that. So, yeah, listen, Pat, the Fowlers and Latimer's, they have to step up. There's no Odell. You know what I mean? It's just Shep and them the first four games. These guys got to step up. And you've seen that they are, right, in preseason. Fowler with the touchdown, you know, Latimer with a nice grab. You know, he's done a lot of good things his camp. So, yeah, listen, are they 80, 90 receiver guys? No. But you spread the ball. That doesn't mean the offense can't be effective, Pat. You saw what happened tonight. They sent like seven guys, and they mad dogged Eli blitz, 2-8-gap blitz. Benny reads it, quick hit from Eli, breaks a tackle, touchdown. That's what we're going to need, Pat. You know, that's what you're going to need.
Yeah, and how nice is it going to be to know that they don't have to force feed the ball to the same guy over and over again? Because look, Chris, I mean, we knew it was going to Odell, and if we knew it, you don't think that the opposing defenses knew it as well and they were able to adjust and defend it? So how nice is it going to be to keep opposing defenses on edge, keep them guessing about where the ball might be going, and just, you know, getting back to you know, distributing the football again?
Yeah, and that's what you're going to see in this offense. It's going to be – you've seen it in the preseason. I think 12 different guys caught a pass Friday night. So that's what you're going to see. The ball is going to be spread around. You know, when you don't have a dynamic talent like Odell anymore, you adjust to your personnel and you spread it around. Now, we all know Eli at times was forcing himself to get the ball to Odell. There's no question about it, right?
Yeah.
And Odell's a dynamic talent. So we're not saying, hey, you're not going to be a better offense with Odell. We're not saying that. Just saying that it's going to be spread around more, and that's what they're going to have to do, you know, and they are. Sherman knows that. You've seen a little bit of that in his preseason games. I think you're going to see it in Dallas, you know, starting in Dallas, the first game. You're going to see a lot of guys getting targets.
Yeah, and I wrote about this actually after the game. I mean, on that first scoring drive that Eli engineered, he threw to four different pass targets. I think three receivers and one tight end.
Right.
And he was even asked about that. You know, is this a glimpse of what we can expect in the offense? And Eli basically said, I think this is what you're going to see. And you know what, Chris? I like it. Again, to take away from Odell and the talent that he is, but I think you were right. I think at times they tried to force feed that ball to him. And just as you, I, and everybody else who were watching knew what was coming, so did opposing defenses. And when you're constantly thrown to the same guy on the same routes, ultimately you can adjust and defend it. You know, you make their jobs easier.
Yeah, sure. Listen, you know, there's no question, Pat, that Eli was targeting Odell a lot at times. No question about it. You know, so it's going to be a different type of offense. Of course, you know, they have the best, well, maybe top three running back in a game with Saquon behind them. And they're going to spread it around like we just talked about. That's the way it's going to be. You know, Sterling Shep is the number one receiver, but is he a true number one receiver? No, he's the number one receiver on the Giants, Pat, you know, but he's not a true number one. He's basically a two, but he's going to be a number one this year. So he's going to get his good share of target. He looks good too, Pat. You know, I think Sterling Shep's going to have a big year, man. I really do. He looked good in practice again today. He's ready to roll. But you know what? The Fowlers and the Latimers and those guys, they're going to be targeted too. And you saw it the other night, man. You saw it. So that's what this offense is going to be.
Yep. And, you know, I just finished writing and posting this article, of course, going up on Sunday night over on the Maven. I did a study on Sterling Shepard, you know, because, you know, a question came in Sunday's practice after Sunday's practice about the increased role he's going to face. And I did some research on the numbers. Mm-hmm. In 2017, Shep was targeted on 13.6% of the passes. Now that's in 11 games, mind you.
Right.
In 2018, that number jumped to 17.7%. So right. he's going to be in. I suspect that that number is going to jump even higher, especially yeah. in the first four games. And you know, Shep mentioned the last five games he was targeted a lot. And I went and I researched that he was targeted 22 out of the 66. I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. He caught 22 passes out of the 66 receptions he had in those last five games. With four of them, as you know, Odell not being on the field because of the injury. So
right.
so yeah, Shep is he's primed and ready and has proven he can do it. And you know he's you can see he's chomping at the bit to get yeah. out there.
Oh no doubt, he's taking the leadership role. He's the number one receiver on the team. He's going to get the majority of the targets, Pat, and he's ready for it. And he's ready to step up to the next level, you know, and he's totally worked himself to this point. He's accepted the leadership role. He's accepted that he's the number one receiver, and they're going to be looking at him. When you're the number one receiver, Pat, guess what? You're going to be looked at to make the move the sticks. You're going to be targeted the most, right? So
yeah.
he's, you know, he's had a really good camp. I know the fingers set him back a little bit, but he's been practicing for the last week and a half, whatever it's been. You know, on the field today, he had no yellow jersey on. He was totally a go today. He says he's good to go. A little bit sometimes it bothers him, but he should be fine. He fully expects to be ready for Dallas, and I expect him to really play well, Pat, this season. And he's totally embraced the role of being a number one receiver.
Yeah, he's really you got to like the maturation process with him. You know, from the time he was a rookie. You know, at first I thought, okay, you know, I don't want to see him go down the wrong path there, and I thought he might, but he has really, really grown into the role as a leader, into an NFL receiver, and I just love what he brings. And look, the Giants loved it too, because they went and they gave him that mm-hmm. contract extension. And I think, you know, he's going to be around on this team for quite some time.
Absolutely. I mean, the Giants, the Giants rewarded him with the 4-year deal of 40, whatever it was, million or 41, whatever it was. And don't get me wrong. We know when an organization, you know, gives you that contract, it makes you a little happier, right, Pat?
Oh, sure.
You know, it makes you go a little bit harder. You know, you're making a lot of money, you know, and these athletes have pride. The organization, you know, rewarded them, and they're going to turn around and they're going to show, he wants to show the organization basically a thank you, you know, for this contract. And I'm going to show you that I'm worth this money, you know. So that's where we're at with Shep.
And I love it, you know, because that's what they need from him. They need that leadership, you know, because they really don't have, you know, if you think about it, you know, Eli's a leader, you know, Nate Solder's a leader, you know, Shep has an opportunity to step up and be a leader amongst those receivers, you know, Golden Tate, mm-hmm. I'm sure will take on some of the leadership role, but he, you know, as we discussed, he's not going to be there for the first four games. So just really, really, you know, the arrow is pointing up, I think, on the offense. So I can't wait to see that play out. Chris, let's take one more break, and then we've got to talk about the defense because we haven't mentioned that group yet. So we'll take our break, come right back and talk defense. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. My name is Patricia Traina, and I am joined by special guest Chris Bisignano of the Giant Insider and Giant Insider Podcast. Good friend of the program, good friend of mine. Always appreciate him coming on and dropping his knowledge. Just a tremendous individual. Chris, we got to talk defense. Now, in the beginning of mm-hmm. the program, I asked you about what surprised you. You went right to the offense. So I'm going to ask you, what has surprised you about the defense so far?
What has surprised me about the defense? What has surprised me that, well, you know, I hate to say it's early in the preseason, but I thought they would get a little more. Listen, they got a couple of sacks tonight with the twos, but I was looking for the ones to get a little more pressure on the quarterback, Pat, the first few games, and it really hasn't been there. Okay, so I'm a little surprised that I'm a little surprised at that right now, but it's very early in the process. Okay, pleasantly surprised that at least X-Man Golden, they got some sacks tonight against, you know, the second string and third strings and all that. But I want to see some more pressure, Pat. I'm looking for the ones playing Thursday night, and I'm looking for the ones to get some quarterback pressures, and I like to see a few drops. I really do. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm a little surprised. I didn't look. I've never said they're going to be a heavy pass rushing team. They're going to get 50 sacks, the whole deal. But I want to see the young guys step up a little bit more. I haven't really seen that yet. I'd like to see some pressure Thursday night.
Yeah, that, you know, it's interesting, Chris, that you went there, and you know, it's not. I don't want to say that it's a negative thing. It was just, mm-hmm. you know, maybe an expectation that was, or a letdown. Kind of interesting because in the springtime, the defense looked like it was really coming together. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, generating some pressure and everything. And then once it went against different color jerseys,
right?
You know, it's like you realize just how much more that the defense has to go. And also the fact that usually defenses are ahead of the offenses in the summer, and it takes some time for the offense to catch up. How much of that do you think is just a result of the youth and all the new faces that they have, that this unit is still kind of feeling each other out, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, that's a large, big part of it. They're young, you know, they're young up front, man. You know, Tomlinson up front is the veteran with 3 years, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and on the outside edge, you know, Carter's only in his second year. Golden's coming off the injury. And Martin is basically does nothing out there. So yeah, it's a little bit of that, and a little bit that you're gonna have to stop beating your man, Pat. You know, you got to stop beating your man in front of you. You know, so we'll see. Listen, this X-Man kid is very intriguing, very intriguing. He's a raw talent, but he has plenty of talent. Now it's just a matter of getting it together. You know what I mean? To play and beat a tackle or a, you know, a guard or a running back, whoever comes out the block, you know, at this level. So. Yeah, listen, that's definitely part of it. The young kids are still learning. They're getting to get to know each other. But I've been concerned about the defense. I'm still a little concerned about them. To me, you know, this could be a problem as far as I think the offense actually is going to be all right. And the defense, we'll see if they're going to get some stops, you know. I hope the Bengals play their ones for like a quarter Thursday night, Pat. I want to see this defense against another team's number one offense, you know, and see what happens. Because let's face it, Pat, we saw him against the Jets. The Jets played one series and went right down the field.
Yeah.
Chase Daniel the other night, that offense moved the ball, you know, and he got a field goal, but their second string has kind of moved the ball. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little concerned, you know, Pat. I'm looking for them. Hopefully they improve as this preseason moves along going into the regular season.
Are you surprised that it's taken so long? Because like I said, usually, you know, it take, you know, I get it. You know, they have a rookie with Dexter Lawrence who, by the way, people are like, what has he done? He's played quietly. And what my response to that is his first game, yes, he was quiet. I think he only had four snaps. Mm-hmm. Second game, they were moving him all over the line. And I saw some pressure. I saw some, you know, space eating, you know, where he was taking up multiple blockers. Maybe he didn't get the stat sheet, I don't think. But, you know, sometimes you got to look at the effect he had, which enabled other people to dent the stat sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. When he lines up on the line and he's at when he's at the one technique, he usually takes on two blockers. Okay. And then they'll move him over to the three technique. Like you just said, they moved him around the other night, you know? But he's young. He's two games in. You know, the kid is. Listen, Sherman said it the other day. Betcher said it, that he played better in the second preseason game than the first. Like you said, he only has six snaps, I believe, in the first preseason game. Mm-hmm. And I think he played 14. I got to look at that again. I think he played 14 Friday night. So let the kid get more snaps, okay? Guess what? He's going to play 50-something against Dallas in a month, you know? In about 3 weeks from now, you know? So I'm not really worried about Lawrence. I know people want to see him dominate from the first game on, but he's getting better and better. So I wouldn't worry about him.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Chris, I've been pleasantly surprised with the play of the linebackers, specifically the off-ball linebackers.
How about that Connolly kid?
I know. I was just going to say, this Connolly kid, who initially I thought, you know, what's he going to bring? You know, special teams. He's really, really looked good.
Let me ask you this, Patty. Would it surprise you right now if Connolly is a starting inside linebacker next to Tree against
Al? No, not at
all. Thank you. Thank you. I've been telling people that.
Not at all. I could see Connolly being the two down linebacker, and then maybe them going to Tay Davis,
right,
you know, for coverage next to Ogletree. But I think, you know, and it's a shame because I like him. I think he's a good dude. But B.J. Goodson, he's not going to be on this roster in September.
I don't see it happening, Pat. I'm with you 100%. Don't see it. I think the writing's on the wall. I think you've seen it in practices, and I think you see it now in preseason games. He's been with the threes, right?
Yeah.
He's been with the threes. I think the writing's on the wall. Well, what's hurting him, Pat? He was in a competition in the OTAs, you remember, with Tay Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of fell behind that. And now this kid Connolly, the way he's played, now he's falling behind him. So now he's with the threes. And I think the writing's on the wall. I agree with you, you know. Yeah. But Connolly, you can't help but be impressed with this kid, right, Pat?
Wow.
Can't help but be impressed with him, man. You know, so I tell you, man, I'm looking at it like this kid is going to be next to Ogletree opening game with the one he's going to be starting. That's the way he's going. And guess what, Pat? That's the way this – you could tell, Betcha, Sharma, that's what they want to happen. Whether or not he actually wins it over Davis, we'll see. But it looks like to me, and I'm watching practice every day with you, I'm watching these preseason games, this is the way the organization is going. They want Connolly to be with the ones. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Now, remember, this is, what, a fifth rounder? So I think, you know, it's early. We haven't seen a regular season game. But, you know, how good is this draft class looking so far?
Pretty good to me. You know, and Slayton is back. The wide receiver, Darius Slayton is back. 100, you know, he's a go. Sherman kind of held him out. You know, they were careful with him the other night. I expect him to play Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And now we'll see about this kid getting in the mix, right?
Yeah.
So it looks like so far a pretty damn good draft class, you know. So and if it is, Pat, it'll be the second one in a row for Dave Gettleman. And guess what, that. Patty? Guess what? If this kid Jones, which right now, the way we look at him, is the real deal, and he steps in for Eli whenever that happens, and he's a bona fide, solid, good quarterback, checks the boxes, which he's been doing, by the way, and all that, that's 2 years. So basically, Gettleman went out and got a franchise quarterback, right, and a probably going to be a Hall of Fame, I hate to say it so early, but heading towards Canton running back in 2 years, right?
Yep.
Not bad, Pat. Not bad.
No, I mean, really, of this year's draft class, the only one who I don't think at this point is going to be on the roster is Big George, you know, because he's been in the concussion protocol now for the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks.
Right.
So I could see, you know, if that doesn't clear up, maybe he's headed for IR. But, you know, that doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, he's a bust. You know, we'll just have to wait and see him next year. But you know what? Between this year's class, Chris, and last year's class, some of whom are starting to come on even more, and I'm talking about like R.J. McIntosh, a guy who I think has looked absolutely solid, but who doesn't get his name called a lot. But if you watch the tape, you can see him disrupting and making plays. So he was part of that class last year that kind of got a late start. And then, you know, how bad did they need this after, you know, the draft class that got, you know, the last few draft classes, which basically bottomed out before they had a chance to get started.
Right.
I mean, there was nothing left in the cupboard. And Gettleman has already put stuff back in the cupboard. We got good depth. And, you know, speaking of depth, I'll just throw this one out at you. Do you feel as good as I do now after watching the backup offensive line about the depth? Because I know that was a concern I had. And Gettleman, you know, now those backup offensive linemen, granted, they weren't draft picks, but they got some interesting guys there.
I agree with you 100%. I'm glad you mentioned this, Pat, because I was just about to mention it to you. So you read my mind right through the microphone here. You know, they really love this Nick Gates kid. They love him. They're giving him for the swing tackle. Pat, I think another guy, you know, we just talked about a veteran. B.J. Goodson is in trouble, right? I got another one for you that I think might be in trouble here. Now we're talking about offensive
Chad
line.
Wheeler.
Thank you, Patricia. I think Chad Wheeler is in trouble. All right.
Yeah.
I think Nick Gates is going to win that swing tackle position. They got Pulley, who they consider like a starter. That's going to be, you know, that could play guard and center.
Chad Slade.
This Chad Slade kid, well, he's been with the twos for a long time and practices, and he comes in with the twos and games. Okay. Evan Brown, they like. Plays guard, you know. Spencer Pulley, you know, you talk to Sherman, you talk to Gettleman about Spencer Pulley. They view him as like a starter that's just behind Halapio right now, but they have no problem with him if he had to step in and play guard or center. No problem at all. He's proven he can play in his league, Pat Pulley.
Sure.
All right, played 16 games for the Chargers with Rivers a couple years ago. Okay, so the surprise – I shouldn't say surprise because he got hurt last year, Gates. He was on IR for the season. But Nick Gates is at tackle now where he played in Nebraska, and he's playing pretty good, Pat. He's playing pretty good. Wheeler to me, Pat, looks regressed. Like he's regret. Thank you.
Yes.
What are you reading my mind today? What the hell's going on?
I must right? be.
To me, Wheeler has regressed. And he's with the threes in practice. The other night he came in, he played with the third unit at right tackle and left tackle. I don't like the way he's played in practices. I'm not crazy about the way he's played in the preseason game. He could be in trouble. I think he's a bubble guy that might not have a job, Pat.
Yeah, I agree. And for what it's worth, Chris, last year I liked what I saw from Nick Gates before he got hurt. I actually had him, I think, on a very early roster projection because he just really impressed, I think, going back to the rookie camp. And, you know, of course, unfortunately, he had the injury and he mm-hmm. was done for the year.
Right.
But, you know, he was somebody who they brought back, and I was glad to see them bring him back because I had liked what I saw. And he could also work his guard, by the way. So you talk about versatility. You know, I just not only do they can these guys that we're mentioning, you know, the Chad Slade, Spencer Pulley, Nick Gates, not only can they, you know, play the, you know, or at least they've shown they can play the game at a decent enough level, but they're versatile. And that's why I feel so much better about the offensive line depth than right. I did maybe at the start of training camp.
Right. And the versatility of Nick Gates is going to put him on this roster. You know what I mean? Because Pat, he was a tackle in Nebraska, right? And he's an undrafted free agent. He comes to the Giants last year. They put him at guard. Remember? Oh, he's got shorter arms. He's not really a tackle in the NFL, the whole deal. This year, you remember, he starts camp, starts OTAs at guard. And then they switched him to tackle, you know, and they liked what they've seen from him. I talked to Nick about this. I actually talked to Gates. And I said, Nick, you know, Rusty, you know, he goes, well, I have, you know, his first game when he played tackle against the Jets, he was like, well, I haven't played, you know, tackle since college. He goes, but that is my position, you know. They move me to guard and all that. He goes, but I feel more comfortable at tackle. And guess what, Pat? Shermer recognized that. Shula recognized that. They put him back at tackle, and they've liked what they've seen. You know, they liked what they've seen. Now, the great thing about Gates is what? You need him at guard. Something happens during the game. A couple guys go down, whatever it might be. Boom. You could put him at guard. Mm. They love that. Versatility is huge.
Especially on that offensive line.
That's so what I'm sorry, Pat. That's what I mean on the offensive line. Versatility is huge. You know, and Gates, Gates brings that to the table.
Yes, he does. I mean, it actually, Chris, if you look at both sides of the ball in the pit, they have versatility galore, and that, you know, not so much on the offensive line because, you know, it's basically going to be the same five guys, but just having the options that they didn't have last year because they didn't have guys who could step in and do these different roles. And, you know, you talk about versatility. We can also extend that out to the defensive secondary where you got Julian Love, a rookie who is playing basically three positions. He's doing a little bit of slot, doing some free safety mm-hmm. and doing cornerback. You know, you've got Corey Ballantyne who's been moving around back there. And these are all kids who, you know, usually would rookies, you think, oh, you know, you throw too much at them, they're gonna struggle, they're gonna look lousy. These kids have looked good.
Yeah, they have so far. They look pretty good. And it's big, like you said. Love could bounce around. They've had him at safety. They could put him in a slot. They could put him on the outside, and that's big. That's big for him, man. That's what makes rosters, you know. So that is going to be huge. No question about it. Man. And that's what Betcher loves. That's what Shermer loves. And you know, we'll see how it plays out. But right now, you got to like some of the things that you've seen. No question about it.
Absolutely. Now, Chris, let's kind of spin ahead a little bit. The Giants visit Cincinnati mm-hmm. on Thursday night. What are you going to be looking for? I mean, it's funny. People consider the third preseason game the dress rehearsal.
Right.
Shermer talked about, you know, look, you got to take it as it is. And reading between the lines, you wonder if it's going to be a full dress rehearsal, you know, like it's been in the past. But what mm-hmm. are you looking to see?
I'm looking to see the defense, Pat, control the defensive line, control the line of scrimmage a little bit. I want to see him play well against the run. That's why I said I hope the Bengals are doing the same thing. You know, listen, the other night what happened was we show up and all of a sudden, you know, the Bears announced that they're not playing any starters, right? So hopefully Zach Taylor, the new head coach of the Bengals, goes out there and he plays his ones like a half or almost a half like the Giants probably are going to do, right? And I want to see the defense. I want to see the defense get some pressure, Pat. I want to see him get some pressure on Andy Dalton or whoever's playing quarterback and maybe control that line of scrimmage. Okay. All right. So no Saquon on the offensive side of the ball. let's move the ball again. How about we get the ball, Pat, with Eli, and boom, we go down the field again. Okay, I want to see that. All right, I don't think we're going to see Ingram. We know we're not seeing Saquon, right? So
yeah,
let's do like what we did last week. Get the ball. Let's go down the line on the defensive side, Pat. I want to see some pressure on the quarterback with the ones. Okay, I want to see him control the line of scrimmage. And I have to be honest with you, Pat. I want to see Dexter Lawrence make a little bit of an impact. I like to see him make a few plays. You know what I mean? As his progression moves forward, that's what I like to see. I want to see the defensive line kind of control that line of scrimmage, get some pressure on the quarterback, and the offensive line, obviously, and the offense gets the ball and let Eli get that more confidence going, get the ball and go down the field.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I all points that I am making in my previews. You know, the other thing, Chris, I would like to see is maybe on special teams, and we don't really talk about special teams that much, but I'd like to see a resolution with the punt returner. Mm-hmm. I do not want to see Jabril Peppers in that role. I know he can do it. Mm-hmm. I would rather he not do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they tried Britton Golden. They tried TJ Jones in that role.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the Jones experiment might be over.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if they're going to have room for Britton Golden on this. It's going to be tough. It's going to, I just don't see how that's going to play out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Darius Slayton has been working on punt returns in practices. So if he plays Thursday night, which I expected to, barring any setback, if he plays, I expect him to receive a few punts himself, Pat. So look for him in the mix. I guess if they'll give Jones another shot, we'll see if they gave up that experiment. I don't know. He has not looked good at all, returning punts. I don't expect to see Peppers at all in a preseason game, but I do expect him to see doing regular season at times. You know, Golden Tate, forget about that. He's not going to be there the first four games, right? And he's not playing Thursday night. He's in concussion protocol, Tate, so don't expect him Thursday night.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, somebody else is going to have to step up and win this job, man. I don't want Peppers returning every damn punt, Pat,
No, I don't either. If they need a spark here and there, I'm fine with that. But every punt, no.
Right.
Pass.
Somebody's going to have to step up these next two games and win it.
I'm
hoping Darius Slayton comes back and he plays Thursday night and looks pretty good returning punts because the kid's a burner, We'll see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and they could use that, that burner speed, and especially on offense. But, it's also a good way for him to kind of, get back and catch up on all that he's missed because of that, that hamstring strain.
Yep, no question about it. So I'm hoping he plays Thursday night and plays and practices every day, plays that last game against New England, and he shows the team, and he could do some things for us because the kid's got a world of talent, Pat, as you know, and he's a absolute burner, so. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. All right, Chris, as always, great catching up with you.
We're done? Oh, that was fast. Okay.
I know. We could probably talk for hours on end. But don't worry, we'll have you on again. You're always welcome. And at some point, I got to bring Jerry on. I got to bring Jerry Foley on because, I got to think he's probably thinking, what the heck? She doesn't love me anymore.
Oh, no. No, not at all. Don't think that.
Got to bring the king buffoon on, right?
Yeah. No. And he's not getting any cookies, so forget about that.
No, we save those just for the,
for me.
Tell him, but they're just for you and, a couple of other people. But
I got you.
But anyway, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. Giant fans, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you tune in the rest of the week. Tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday. You know the drill. Send your questions to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet them to me with the hashtag AskPTrain. On Wednesday, we'll have a quick review ahead of the Bengals game. Thursday night, of course, is the game. Friday, a recap, and then we're taking the weekend off. We're going to try and get back on a regular schedule of sorts. So plenty more coming up. Thanks, as always, for listening, and we will talk soon.